Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome, everyone, to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. I'm Heather Cho, and I'm here with international marriage expert Mark Johnston. Mark, how are you doing today?
Hi. Hi, Heather. I'm doing wonderful. How's everyone else doing out there? How are you doing, Heather?
I'm doing fabulous. Summer's coming to an end here. Kids are back in school. It was a rough week, but it's also a fabulous week. So
you got kids in school? Oh, man, I'm a little jealous. I was actually talking about that with my wife earlier. We're so excited, but our kids aren't even going till the beginning of September. They start a little bit later.
Wow. Yeah. Get a whole extra month in us. Well, we're really excited. We're going to be talking today about how we've saved thousands of couples. We've helped them save their marriages from disaster. And before we get to that, we're going to share our client win of the week. This one comes from Sherry. She says here that God continues to work a miracle in our marriage. My husband has been unhappy in our marriage and was floating the divorce option. 10+ years of struggling to save our marriage, he said, I'm done. It was decided I would file. I told the kids we were getting a divorce. I was devastated. Then the next day, my husband asked me to wait. I did. It has been a slow upward climb since then, not without treacherous stretches on the edge. But with the help of God, mighty angel protector warriors, faithful prayer warrior friends, Heather Choate, Mark Johnston, and my relationship reboot tribe, we are climbing indeed. And the view up here is really quite amazing. Hope. It is real, people. Winds abound. I am overjoyed. What a wonderful week this has been and continues to be. So excited. So congratulations, Sherry. It is a struggle. It is a climb. But the view when you get to the top is awesome. So we just want to send a huge shout out and a huge high thrive to you, Sherry, for doing the work and sticking with it long term. All right. Now, before we show kind of our experience having worked with thousands of couples all around the world and helping numerous people to save their marriage, I want to go in first, Mark, and talk about what most people do, even what I did, some of the mistakes that I've made, and maybe some mistakes that you've made, but the most common things that we see people do when their marriage is struggling, when their spouse is pulling away or pushing for divorce, and these things that are really common, but most of them just simply don't work.
Yeah, so, you know, I even see this around in my personal life. People kind of find out what I do and they inevitably discussion of their relationship pops up in some way, shape or form. But I see these sort of situations and they'll say, oh, well, you know, I tried doing a few things here or there. They tried, you know, they talk to their friends. They you know, what I see is a lot of people do the same things. They might start reading books. They might start watching videos online, getting some help. I tend to see that they do this especially when their partner isn't really getting involved. Or they might actually get to a pastor or church group, or they might go to counseling or therapy. But when they're at that point, I tend to see that they're doing that really when things are really, really downhill. They've gone downhill quite a bit. And almost like going to a doctor and trying to figure out, you know, how to run the marathon next week when they're going to be losing their legs or something like that. You know, they wait really long, or they might rush into some of these, you know, professionals, but not actually do much research on what their, you know, what their specialty is. This is another problem that I see is that people go see these counselors, you know, for marriage problems, when a lot of the workload that counselor might have might be in other areas, such as mood disorders or anxiety disorders or addictions or something else. I tend to see also, you know, a lot of people just talking to friends and family for advice, which can't tell you how frustrated I am sometimes with that, because a lot of times the advice that comes from these people, while it's really well-intentioned, the advice that is given in such, these people giving advice, they don't have to really deal with the consequences. And so it's really easy to give advice like saying, oh, you should just leave that person, or, oh, you should just, you know, tell them how you feel. You should, you know, really tell them how angry you are. Well, you know, one, like I said, they're not having to deal with those consequences. And two, they don't really, I'm going to say, they don't always know what they're talking about. Or, you know, the worst of all these is people might just do nothing. And a lot of these things, if not, you know, if you're not doing it at the right time, if you're waiting too long, or if you're not going to the right source for all these things, it's just, it doesn't work.
Yeah, for me, one of the reasons why it didn't work, because when my husband, I felt like there was like distance between us, and that things were really, I was struggling to connect with him, and there was a lot of tension, there was a lot of negative cycles going on in our relationship. I went to books, right? I started reading some books, I started reaching out to, okay, well, these people must be experts, they've written this book, right? But then I would read one thing that said this, and then another thing that said that, and then I would try it, and it would have absolutely no effect. Or I would think I was doing it right, and only to find out later that despite my best intentions, I wasn't doing it right at all, because the author of this book has no ability to give me feedback. In addition, like, I can't watch a YouTube video and get accountability. Like, Heather, did you actually do that? Because sometimes, even, I'm going to be completely honest, even this podcast isn't enough. Okay, that's a full disclaimer. Like, Mark and I, we're giving our time here. And we say it all the time, it's just the tip of the iceberg. And what is really needed is a completely different approach. We can't have contradictory advice that's confusing and we don't even know if it applies. And we can't run around like a chicken with our head cut off thinking that we're doing the right things without no any feedback, right? And also that accountability piece. So many times, like, you might be listening to this just like I do, or you might be reading a book or listening to a YouTube video or something, and it makes a lot of sense. And we kind of nod our head and we're like, yeah, I totally agree with that. And then we go back to doing the exact same things that are causing our problem. Mm-hmm. And we have no accountability, like a mentor or a coach to say, hey, you actually need to do this and I'm going to hold you to it. So my life started completely changed. My marriage started completely changed when I had accountability. I had the right method, and I had that feedback to make sure I was doing it.
Oh, yeah. Working with clients sometimes, almost invariably, I'll ask them, you know, when I first start meeting with them, I'll ask them, okay, what have you tried so far to fix this? And they'll tell me some things. And when I start digging deeper, I'll make some suggestions, and they'll tell me, oh, no, I tried that. I tried apologizing. I tried talking to them about this subject. And when I go a little bit further and ask them, well, how did you actually do this? I find that they've really gotten the concept all wrong. And so this is exactly what you're talking about is, you know, so a lot of times what's really needed is that right method, but also that feedback to know that you're doing it correctly.
Exactly. So one thing that I really can relate to as far as this goes is, with being diagnosed with cancer, as you guys know, following this podcast, if you're starting from the beginning, if you're starting now, go back to the beginning, make sure you listen from the beginning, because each podcast builds on itself. But I needed an expert. I couldn't just go to a general doctor, which is kind of like going to a general family therapist or a general, you know, therapist or counselor and just get general advice. You know, I had to find the best expert in the world. And that is exactly what Mark and I are. We are the best experts in the world at what we do, which is saving marriages and turning around desperate situations so that they can be as successful as possible. And beyond that, helping people to become the best versions of themselves. I've said this before, but I think it's worth saying again here now, but when I went to the doctor's office for that very first appointment with my husband, here we were diagnosed with aggressive breast cancer. I was at that point 14 weeks pregnant. And we sat down and she comes walking in and she's this like vivacious Texas woman, this sterile doctor's office. And she says, you know, I understand that this is really hard for you, but for me, it's just another Tuesday. And that showed me that she is an expert because she's seen it so many times and she's helped people get through it. I think it's really important that we understand the reality about marriage and about relationships, especially when they're heading in a negative direction. I think that the general idea in our culture is that if a marriage is struggling, it's over. Just like in fighting cancer, for me, it was like, if you have this kind of cancer, your chances of survival are very little. And that was kind of the general consensus. However, I found an expert that had evidence and a method and a treatment plan to show me it's not over at all. That's a complete myth. And Mark and I are here to say that the idea that if your marriage is struggling and that if things are challenging, it's not over. For 95% of couples, that's a complete myth. All right? So, Mark, mm-hmm. I want to go in a little bit into what I like to call rapid tweaking. And this is something that we've seen from our really successful clients, as well as just really successful people in general. So what most successful couples do is this idea is called rapid tweaking. They try something, they fail, they adjust accordingly, right? They try something, they fail, and they keep learning, right? And that's not a bad thing. However, is it the absolute most effective? So that's what I did working on my marriage for most of our 12 years until I found a better way. And that's what Mark and I do here, is that we learn from the accumulation of working with thousands of couples, their painful mistakes, their costly mistakes, right? And instead of losing money and years of happiness going about relationships incorrectly, you invest a small amount of money, time, and energy. And what happens is you greatly accelerate your ability to reconnect, to restore, and thrive. And that is what we have done here, greatly shortens the time span so we don't have to spend years and years in therapy or just give up on our marriages, but we can find real solutions and find them quickly. So with that being said, Mark, what makes us different? How are we able to do this? I mean, it's another Tuesday. Like, we do this
all the time. It's a good question because, you know, if we just said, hey, well, we're really good at talking to people or something. Well, no, that's not what it is at all. It's, our program is a bit of a different approach simply because it's quite a bit more comprehensive. You know, a lot of times what people might compare us to therapists or counselors, and I get where that would come from. You know, we do have like the typical, you know, the one-on-one sessions, but it's all the other things that I think really cover all the other bases. The thing is, change is really, really difficult for a lot of people. And meeting with someone for an hour once a week, maybe every other week, really doesn't, it's just not enough to bring about change. So Heather and I, we sat down, you know, early on, we said, well, what's really going to help people make these changes? And we thought we need to give a lot more support and really be there for people to hold them accountable to make sure that they got that change. So beyond when people sign up to work with us, you know, I do meet with them on a regular basis, you know, once a week, ideally, but then we now have group calls every single day of the week. Where people can come in, get some extra support. You know, if they just had a fight with their spouse, they can come in and ask questions. Hey, what happened here? What could I have done differently? And we can give that extra support. Beyond that, we have the email support. We also have all the training videos. And I think that's really right there is it makes a huge difference. All the exercises and training videos, all the things to do and to occupy yourself in between all the support that we give. Because in my opinion, if you're going to make some changes, some fundamental changes to what's going on, you need practice and you need time to do it. And if you're, like I said, if you're just going in once every other week, that's not enough practice to really make those changes click. Heather and I, we really make sure that we hone in and make sure that people are doing exercises every day. We're holding them accountable. We're asking whether they are getting those exercises in. And I think that's what really makes a huge difference here is all the different levels of support and all the different levels of accountability from a team of people, not just, you know, a single counselor.
So this is a question that I get once in a while. And I love this question because it really helps to differentiate the methods here that are available, right? Mm-hmm. So what is the difference between a counselor and a coach?
So having been on both sides of that, that situation, I was taught when I went to school, when I was studying clinical psychology, I was taught that I should not tell people directly what to do as a counselor, because it was my role to help guide people to their own conclusions and help them make their own decisions, which, you know, I see the merit in that. I think that's really good in many circumstances, especially when you have lots of time to work through things, and especially when you're dealing with lots of different problems. Now, the whole thing here, we, you know, Heather and I, we are only focused on marriage, not just marriage in general. We're focusing on this one area of marriage. And so we're able to, this is where coaching comes in. We're able to take this situation and say, this is what you need to do right now. And that's, you know, like a coach, like a basketball coach is going to say, you know, if we're going to win this, you know, championship here, you can tell I'm not really a big sports person. I'm going to throw out generous sports terms. If we're going to win this game, if we're going to win the whatever here, you're going to need to do this exercise. You're going to need to practice here. You're going to need to do this, this, and this. You know, or if you're going in for a personal trainer over at the gym, they're going to tell you do this exercise, this exercise, this exercise, because it's going to give you these results. And that's really where the difference between a counselor and a coach comes in. I get a lot of clients coming in who say, we went to a counselor and we just spent a whole lot of time talking about our past and what the problems were. And comparatively, I spend very little time, just enough time to understand what the context is and where everything is at. But I'd much rather focus on what's going on now and what people want in the, you know, in the immediate future and how to get there. So right. That's the difference, I think.
And I agree. So what do you look for in a coach? For me, I look for someone that has accomplished what I want to accomplish, because the difference to me between a therapist, a counselor, and a coach is that a coach is committed to a result. And just like Mark said with the analogy with the basketball, right? A coach is going to say, I want you to go run 3 miles every day, and then you're going to do 25 layups and 50 free throws every single day. When you've mastered that, come back to me and I'll tell you the next step, right? And they're going to have you practice a certain technique with shooting the ball, where your hand goes, you know, how you use your legs. And they will give you feedback on that all along the way. Every single moment, they're in there with you. They're like right in your face sometimes, annoyingly so. But it's because they're committed to a result, and you know you want to get that result. So why would we listen to anyone who hasn't achieved that result themselves? Doesn't make any sense. To me, I was baffled to find out that the counselor that we were seeing had been divorced 3 times. Not a joke.
Ooh, wow.
Was not even married. And I said, why are we paying this person? And why are we spending our money with someone who really doesn't get where we're coming from? Like, we need to find someone who's gone through what we've gone through, that has been through similar struggles, and we can learn from them, right? Because we are all about integrity. Like, we must model what we teach. I cannot come before you and stand with integrity and say, you know, work on these mindset things if I'm depressed and struggling and totally blocked myself. You know, it just wouldn't be in alignment with truth. And so I think it's really crucial that we learn from people that we want to be where they are, so that we can follow and learn what they know, right? We can follow their method. We can do the exercises. We can do the practices. We can get the feedback, and then we can get there ourselves. So that's the difference between coaching and, you know, counseling or any other kind of traditional method, right? And then, Mark, let's talk about our proven step-by-step phases. And here at High Thrive Coaching, we're always committed to improving our phases and improving the method. It's kind of like the treatment plan that my oncologist gave me, right? It's this proven step-by-step process, and you have to achieve the certain steps. So we've talked about our PATH method, but we're improving on that even more. So let's talk a little bit about the new phases that go along with our foundational PATH method.
Yeah, so the whole point behind the PATH method, it was to just really distill things down to what is needed to put everything back together. And just in case you all need a reminder, PATH stands for perspective, you know, gaining that understanding, A for adjustment or making those changes, a T for telling a new story and adjusting the narrative in the relationship, and then H for hope, where we really work a lot on mindset. But I wanted to give it a lot more structure, a lot more context, and make it just very clear, like more of that coaching approach where you have step one, do this, step two, do this, step three, do this. And so we've adjusted things recently just to make things a lot more, like I said, structured. So where we start off with this, we really like our four steps and four stages or four letters. So we're going to go with four again here. In this case, I really think when I first start working with people, I need to help them build a foundation in the relationship, that stage or phase one, where we really work with our clients to identify any issues with their own way of thinking, where we help them open up conversations with their spouse. I know many, many people who have a hard time with a spouse who starts stonewalling or gets really aggressive during during discussions, and we need to get around that if we're going to make any progress. And then even beyond that, the whole point of that would be to have an ability to address and understand some concerns of your spouse, to be able to share your own concerns with them. This really is needed. Just have this foundational level before you can do much of anything else. You can't. I see so many people who try to convince their spouse to reconcile or to solve problems before they even have some basic foundational level marriage skills that would allow them to even talk about those things. So that's where I start off. Going into the second stage, is it becomes really hard to work on deeper level marriage issues if there's a lot of tension and pain going on. So second stage is ceasefire. And I talk to my clients about how to end those constant fights, how to end all the arguments, how to end the partner just completely shutting down with things, and really how to identify those big changes that need to happen. I do think a big part of putting a marriage back together that is on the brink of divorce is really about changing the state of where everything's at, you know, really shaking things up. And unless you are pretty accurate with where you need to make those changes, you might be making a lot of effort that really isn't going to get you anywhere. At that point, when we can really start to settle things down and make things a lot more calm, I get into the third stage here about restoring peace, where I really help my clients to learn how to meet the needs in the relationship, their own and their partners. And it's really about putting back in some of those positive aspects of the relationship. Because if you listen to me long enough, you'll hear me say this a lot. Like, I might be able to get to a point with my neighbor where I don't have problems with my neighbor, but that doesn't make me very close to my neighbor. That doesn't make me and my neighbor want to be have a nice, close relationship. You really need those nicer things. Just like you might have a coworker. You might not have problems with your coworker who works across the hall in that office, but doesn't mean that you're close. And the same thing here, when a marriage gets to a point where it's dissolved a bit and they're pulling away, yes, you can get it to a really comfortable state. And a lot of our clients are able to get there. It's how do you get over that next little hump where your husband or wife wants to be around you again? The fourth stage here, and I think the one where everyone tries to start off erroneously, is that reconciliation stage, where I teach people how to hold their spouse accountable for their for what's going on, how to support them, the spouse, with their struggles. So we're really focusing in on the other partner at this stage and some of the things that they need to do, but also how to make those final steps to actually inviting your partner to come back into the relationship, how to identify when is the right time to do that and how to make that invitation and how to increase your chances that they're going to say yes. This is how we are able to get around a lot of those common obstacles, like the I love you, but I'm not in love with you. The that fear that if they come back, things are just going to be go back to the way that they were, to get around that obstacle of that continual blame without taking responsibility. You need some of these final steps. And if you try to do these things, which I see so many people do, if you try to do it right at the beginning, this is where everyone fails, is they try to do this thing first without having all this set up. So these are the new phases that that Heather was mentioning, and I'm kind of excited to roll this out and to get this into even some of our existing clients, to get them some of the new material. Like Heather said, we're always trying to improve upon our programs and make sure that it's even more clear, even more direct, even more, you know, getting results even quicker than we were before.
And I'm just going to call it out, okay? Difference between coaches and counselors, we don't just go to 4 or 8 years of school and then call it good and think that we have mastered everything for the rest of our career. Mark and I are continually learning. We're continually investing ourselves into finding out what works and learning from the successful couples and learning from those that didn't, right?
I want to be fair to counselors. To be fair, there is continuing education requirements for counselors and therapists. So there is, but you know, like I said, having been on that end of things, the requirements for that, you know, people can kind of go wherever they want. And so I think really what we're looking at here, the big difference is Heather and I are solely focused on all of our continuing education just on marriage and this problem right here.
Right. We've gone so deep into this niche that we understand it through and through. So we're really excited, again, like Mark said, to share that with you all. And we'll be doing a masterclass here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. So you're welcome to join that group if you're not yet a member, if you're discovering us on the podcast channels. And if you are a member, then make sure that you join. And you can always check out the replay in the group as well as on our YouTube channel. So we will do a full masterclass about these different phases that Mark talked about so that you can really sink your teeth into them and understand what it really takes to save your marriage. And I would encourage everyone to go back through, give that another really quick listen and check yourself, see where you are at. I saw some of your comments here in the group. I'm finally at that stage, right? My husband held me. Now he seems to have empathy for me. So some of you are following through with this and you're seeing the results. You're seeing that you're making this progression through these phases. And if not, that's okay. One of the most common things that we see are really, really successful people, really intelligent people. And I would submit that if you're listening to this, you're one of them. You're one of the people that are actively wanting to learn and actively wanting to find solutions to your problems rather than just being victims of them. And what we see is that, you know, incredible people that have achieved great success in their lives, have invested themselves in their education, simply don't know how to solve their marriage problems, right? And so it's time that if you've been really successful in your career or in your education or in other areas of your life, that you learn how to be successful in this area of your life, because these are skills that can be learned by anyone. We didn't start there at the top. And our clients here that are in the group that are saying, I'm finally at that level, they didn't start there either. It's by learning these things step by step, line upon line, that they got there. So I want to share a bit of a case study here and what this really looks like kind of from the inside out, right? And share our story about a client. We're going to call him Richard for privacy's sake. But before using this improved method that Mark was just outlining here, Richard's life was all about booming his dental practice. I have some friends who are dentists and it is an intense job. In fact, I heard that it's like one of the highest depression and suicidal.
Oh yeah, the rates of suicide for dentists. I don't know why. I've heard that same statistic there. It's really high.
Yeah. So he was just consumed with building his, you know, his dental practice, and that looked like really late nights. You know, meeting with his partner. He talked about going over the budget, managing the staff, seeing patients, and all of these things. Right. He thought that he was building his dream life. He thought that he was providing what his wife wanted, you know, the successful income and this big business and providing for his children. And that all came tumbling down for him on the day he discovered that his wife was having an affair. He thought that everything was going fine. He was completely blindsided. We hear this a lot of times with really successful people, people that are very invested in their careers, very, you know, highly successful people will be so engaged in one area of life that this completely blindsides them. They don't see it coming. Would you agree, Mark?
No, not at all. They don't see it coming at all. Like this, you were just saying, this person here thought that they were doing the best that they could, and they thought that they were giving a lot to the marriage, and so it was really surprising to find out that his wife was unhappy.
Right. So he knew that, like, she'd been complaining about the late nights and the long hours building this, you know, dental practice, this big successful career. And he thought that she understood that these are just sacrifices that we're making. It's just temporary. And he thought that they were on the same page. He had no idea that she had turned to someone else, and it broke his heart, understandably so. And so she said that they're going to be divorced in 6 months. And he said this, these are his own words: "I never knew it was this bad. I love her and I want my family back. But I guess I've been spending so much time learning how to succeed in my career. I haven't learned how to succeed in my marriage." And so he joined our one-on-one coaching program with other professionals and career people just like him, right? They're eager to learn how to turn their marriage around and make it work for the long term. He, like most of our clients, was very coachable, which is one of the things that we actually require for those that we work with one-on-one, because we only take a very few select people every month. And he was willing to learn how to open up that communication with his wife so she would actually talk to him again. I know so many of you have reached out to us and say, there's just no communication. We can't talk. I can't talk about more than the kids or anything like that. And so he learned how to open up that communication and understand where she was coming from and what she wanted, right? He also learned here how to set healthy boundaries with her. You guys can listen to our other podcast on healthy boundaries, especially with affairs going on. It's a really crucial step that you learn how to do that, so that you feel safe and you feel respected and you don't inadvertently push them further away. It's actually a very healthy and healing thing for the relationship. So if you haven't checked that part out, go and listen to that podcast on healthy boundaries. Beyond that, he went beyond like the surface level symptoms that most therapists and counselors tend to focus on and learn how to understand the deeper, kind of those deeper root issues that Mark and I are dedicated to uncovering and solving at the root, so that he could better meet her needs and help her to feel safe again. So eventually, she saw the possibility of being happy with him again. So you can see the progression through these different phases, right? Opening communication, increasing understanding of their partner, and they were working on rebuilding their trust and their happiness, and celebrating 23 years of marriage on a cruise in the Bahamas. Now, that's a very beautifully wrapped up picture here. But that shows kind of the process that it takes, going from "I don't love you anymore, I want a divorce, I'm having an affair, I'm in love with someone else, I'm completely out, and he's just blindsided, had no idea what to do," realized that he'd been giving so much to his career and building a successful area of his life that he hadn't been learning what it took to have a successful marriage. And so that's what we do, is that this path one-on-one coaching method that we teach helps you to slow down the process of divorce, helps you to end the affair, helps you to set those healthy boundaries, and take you phase by phase from wherever you are at into restoring your relationship. Above all, though, it's really like we had Farron on last week about becoming the better version of yourself. And that is going to take us beautifully into our marriage mythbuster. Are you ready, Mark?
Yes, I am ready.
I'm so excited for this one. This one is, I should just move on.
Yeah. I run into this quite a bit. You know, when, especially, you know, you have this sort of situation where you're blindsided by your spouse. They're saying that they're unhappy, they want a divorce, and they're telling you, well, there's just nothing that can be done. So, I mean, right there, here's this idea right in someone's face: I should just move on because there's nothing that can be done. And people get into this mode of thinking without really even questioning it. they say, well, wouldn't that just be easier? And yeah, the answer is yes, this would be easier. And this is, I'm going to teach people something a little bit about how people think. The thing is, people are going to gravitate towards decisions that are going to, in some way, meet some of their needs in the quickest way possible, the easiest way possible, the most accessible way possible. And this is, quite frankly, why a lot of people that come our way, why their spouse is moving towards divorce. They say, I need some more peace in my life. I need some more freedom. I want to feel some love in my life. So the easiest way is going to be if I just leave this marriage and get a new relationship. And I'm thinking specifically of this one study. You know, they studied these kids and their ability to put off to be able to wait patiently for distant rewards when a more immediate reward is right in front of them. Most kids were unable to do that. And it's exactly that, the marshmallow study. So if for those of you who don't know, basically they'd sit a kid in a room, they'd say, hey, look, here's a marshmallow on a plate. If you can wait till I get back, I'll give you 10 marshmallows or something along those lines. And almost invariably, the kids would eat the marshmallow. You know, as kids got older, they're better able to wait a bit. But here's the thing, you know, maybe it's not marshmallows anymore, but I've noticed that adults are really not that great at this either when it comes to really complex issues. When it comes right down to it, if someone's saying, well, you can be happy right now, you know, if you go out to the bar and have some fun, or, you know, you could put that aside and be really responsible and study and do all these other things, or you could work on your personal development. Most people are going to go to the bar and drink, or most people are going to choose the divorce and, you know, all the more immediate, seemingly easier things. People are not really coming from a place of peace or empowerment, though, when they're saying, I should just move on. They're coming from this place of victimhood. They're saying, I can't do anything. And Heather, I mean, you and I, we talk about these sort of things all the time. If someone is saying, I can't do anything about it, what's the likelihood that they're going to be able to do something about it?
Nada.
No.
Heather
and I have found that mindset, the way you think and feel about things, is so crucial to success. And here's the thing. I imagine many of you don't want to get into a situation where you say, I'm just going to move on, and then eventually get back into the very same problems that you thought you were leaving. And this is honestly what happens to many, many people who experience divorce. I don't know if you guys are all aware, but the chances for divorce in subsequent marriage, second, third, fourth marriage, basically it shoots through the roof for every subsequent marriage that a person is involved in. Why? Because they say this very same thing. I should just move on. I'll just give up and move on to something else. I'll get into another relationship. People don't learn from the lessons that they need to from their hardships. They don't gain new skills. They don't change their internal beliefs. They end up seeing the same problem. So what should be done instead? And this is what I love about working with my clients, because just like Farron the other week, I can't absolutely guarantee that we're going to fix every relationship. Now, we see a ton of success, meaning people getting back together in our programs, but it doesn't always happen. And so what I really work with clients on is, okay, determining what they actually want. And, you know, based off of what they have some control over. And usually there's a really strong correlation behind not wanting to experience these problems again, feeling better about themselves, feeling some self-respect, feeling some joy in life, and the ability to win their partner back. So really, this myth is more about the conclusions to be taken away from the relationship, from a relationship dissolving. What do you actually want if your relationship is heading in that direction? You know, one way to think about this is you could say, you know, it simply could not work, I should move on. Another way to think about this is, there are many things that led to this point, and I should really make some changes. I should make some huge adjustments in my life. And whether a marriage ultimately reconciles or not, many changes need to happen to ensure that both partners can come out healthy on the other side. And so I don't think anyone should ever be at a point, if they're in a relationship, where they should say, I should just move on and give up. There's always something that should be done, even if there's a snowball's chance in hell of their marriage actually succeeding and reconciling. I don't think that's usually the case where there's such low chances. I always think there's something that can be done. But even in those low chance scenarios, there's many things that need to happen to make sure that you are going to be a happy, healthy, well-adjusted individual coming out the other end of this situation.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
I want to address this really quick just from a mindset perspective, because this is how I view the world and this is what I see happening in this situation. So I think, Mark, you did a fabulous job. Let's say that there's person A, person B, hypothetical. They both get divorced. So we know the end of the relationship. They both get divorced, okay? That's already what happens to both. However, person A does it from a place of, I should just move on, which from a mindset perspective is a place of disempowerment. It's a place of, I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to learn from this. And what happens to person A? They don't learn those skills. They don't learn how to build healthy relationships. They don't become the person that would attract the kind of relationship that they want, because they never learned from the first relationship that didn't end well. And they end up disempowered, feeling more like a victim and more prone to fall into the same unhappy circumstances. Okay? Person B decides, I'm going to do what I need to do to become a better person. And I'm going to learn what I need to learn here. And I'm going to become the person that I want to be, that can have the relationship that I want to have. I'm going to be that person so that I will find that relationship and it will be attracted to me and I will be up at that level with it. And so both end in divorce, but which one's more likely to have the happy and successful relationship going forward? Right? So that's what it's really all about here at the end of the day, is that we all have the ability to choose what direction we're going to go. Are we going to go the disempowered route of, I'm going to give up and I'm going to give in and I'm not going to learn, the same things are going to repeat themselves? Or am I going to empower myself? I'm going to learn some new skills. Maybe I haven't really learned these things up until now, but now I recognize that there are things I can improve and I will become that person that can receive that relationship into my life. Beautiful. Thanks for helping bust one in. All right. So be careful of the voices that you're listening to. I hear this a lot, that everyone's telling me I should just move on. Maybe I should. Is that a place of empowerment or a place of disempowerment? And then decide which way you really want to go. All right. So Mark and I, we are here to be like the lighthouse. We are the guide. We provide the method. We provide the steps that get the positive results that people are looking for. But it is always up to our clients and our students and our listeners here that they take action on those things. So today I want you to commit to taking some form of positive action. Recognize what kind of help you've been getting up until this point, that maybe the common mistakes that you fell into just like I did, and going to maybe some ineffective sources for help, and that they really aren't serving you, and decide now that you're going to find some better sources. You're going to model behavior of those that have gone before you and know how to get the kind of relationship that you really want to have. Whatever it is for you, decide now that you're going to take some kind of action in that way. And I encourage you to go over to highthrivecoaching.com and look into our programs. We always talk about our coaching program because it is the very best in the industry. There is truly nothing like it. We get into the trenches with you. We give you that accountability and that feedback and that support to ensure that you progress, right? But we also have courses and other programs available if coaching maybe isn't in the right fit for you right now at this time. So please go and check those out. We have our PATH course that teaches these same principles that can help get you going in that direction. So that's over at highthrivecoaching.com. Awesome. So thank you so much, Mark. And next week, I'm going to share with you the 3 mindset secrets to restore your marriage. These are insider secrets, and we're excited for that. Thank you, and we'll talk again soon.
See everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.